Frank Rega is a local Catholic author. His latest book is entitled Padre Pio's Stigmata and Other Wonders, and Frank Rega is on the telephone with us this morning from his home in Sussex County. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Bob.
Welcome.
Good to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to have you on the program as always. In case our listeners aren't familiar with Padre Pio, give us a little bit of a background. Who was St. Padre Pio?
Well, Padre Pio passed away in 1968. He lived in southern Italy, and his primary distinction is that he is the first and possibly the only priest to receive the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. He received the wounds of Christ on his hands, feet, and his chest in 1918. And he carried them for 50 years.
Wow.
He was a very simple person, a humble person. There were a lot of miracles and wonders attributed to him. Probably the most unusual was, other than the stigmata, is the gift of bilocation, whereby he could actually be praying in his monastery and yet appear to someone else. And in my book, I have a couple of examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a famous confessor. He had the gift of reading souls, reading hearts. And when somebody went to confession to him, if they forgot to tell him a certain sin, he had the gift of knowing what that sin was, and he'd confront them with that. Now, how this happened, we don't really know. He was in communication with his guardian angel, and quite often his guardian angel would give him messages. He could, at times he could even see his guardian angel.
Hmm.
So he's quite an important person in the church.
Now, Frank, you mentioned that he died relatively recently, 1968. When was he canonized?
Well, he was canonized in June 16th, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a recent canonization, and at his, actually it was at his beatification in 1999 that they really had the biggest crowd ever for any event like that at the Vatican. There were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, bigger than even the Little Flowers canonization.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason he didn't get bigger in 2002 was because it was only 3 years later, and a lot of the people who had made that trip as a pilgrimage probably could not afford to go back again that
mm-hmm.
soon. But he, by being a relatively recent saint, we have so much information about him
mm-hmm.
and so much documentation, which is good.
Now, Frank, what made you get interested in the topic of Padre Pio?
Well, it's hard to say. I started out by being interested in St. Francis. Way back, I read a book called Little Flowers of St. Francis in around 1970. And reading about St. Francis got me interested in reading about other saints, and then I read about Padre Pio. Now, Francis was the first person historically that we know that had the stigmata, so it was a natural progression to start reading about Padre Pio, who was the first priest with the stigmata. And I became interested in his life, maybe because he was almost a contemporary, really. I mean, I was still in my 20s when he passed away, but I didn't know about him then, unfortunately. So there are a lot of good books about him, and he's really interesting to read about.
This is your second book on the topic of Padre Pio, correct?
Right. The first book was called Padre Pio in America, which is about the connection between Americans and Padre Pio.
Mm-hmm.
And for that book, I interviewed a lot of American soldiers. During World War II, they were based in southern Italy near Padre Pio's monastery. And they had heard all kind of rumors about this saint that lived up on a mountain, which is true because he did live on a mountain. His monastery is on Mount Gargano. And this GI started making trips up to the mountain. And a lot of them some of them converted to Catholicism. And when they came back to the States, a lot of them went on tours publicizing Padre Pio. That's one reason he became famous in this country. So I interviewed a number of these soldiers, and also wrote a life of Padre Pio in that book, Padre Pio in America.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, the first chapter of your book is titled The Truth About Padre Pio's Stigmata. What does that mean?
Well, that means that recently someone wrote a book, it was first published in Italy, trying to imply that Padre Pio's stigmata were caused by chemicals, specifically carbolic acid, also known as phenol. This book was totally panned in Italy when it first came out, but then an English translation of the book, and I'll tell you the name of that book, was Padre Pio, Miracles and Politics in a Secular Age. That book was translated into English about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it won a major literary prize from McGill University, a $50,000 prize, the Kundal Prize in Literature. And when it won that prize, the news about that book was, new book implies Padre Pio faked his stigmata. And it was all over the internet. A number of internet sites, Huffington Post, the Telegraph in England, featured their stories about this, the faking of Padre Pio's stigmata. And this book had no evidence whatsoever, except that carbolic acid was present in the monastery. And it was all based on innuendos and hints that maybe he must have used carbolic acid. The person that wrote the book was obviously, he's not a Catholic and he's a critical person. So this got me quite angry. And I talked to some people and realized that a response was necessary to straighten out the story about Padre Pio's stigmata and show that he did not use chemicals to create his wounds.
It's funny how somebody can make a claim in this day and age with the internet and so forth. It'll just it takes off and is presented as the truth. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, I know it is. And so I wrote this. Actually, the title of my book is "The Truth About Padre Pio's Stigmata." It's actually one of 10 articles in the book. And the reason that I was able to come to the truth about the stigmata is very interesting. In 1919, a year after, less than a year really, after he'd received the stigmata, the Vatican called three doctors to go investigate Padre Pio. And the second doctor was an atheist, and he was a what they call a logical positivist. And he did not believe in anything supernatural, so he came down to the friary. He saw these wounds on Padre Pio. This is 1919. His name was Dr. Bigami. And he said, well, I've interviewed Padre Pio, and I don't think he caused the wounds on purpose, but I think he's a neurotic, and these wounds are caused by a neurosis and autosuggestion, and he's using iodine or carbolic acid, perhaps, to maintain these wounds. And that's how this theory got started, from this doctor. But this doctor, being a professional medical man who did not believe in the supernatural, decided that he could cure Padre Pio's wounds with a certain treatment. So he organized a treatment and got the friary to agree to it, which was they would bandage the wounds for 8 days. The wounds on his hands, the wound on his feet, the wounds on his feet, the wound on his chest. Bandage them every day for 8 days. Take the bandage off every day and rebandage it. And study the wounds and make sure that there was no chemical substance applied to them. All chemicals had to be removed from Padre Pio's room. Well, the only chemical they found was iodine. It turned out Padre Pio would use iodine to try to disinfect the wounds. So they bandaged these wounds up for 8 days. The doctor was convinced that they would start to heal because Padre Pio couldn't put these chemicals on it that he was that were keeping the wounds alive. Well, after 8 days, on the eighth day, the bleeding of the wounds was worse than on the first day. And it was proof. They took it as a sign from God, that the friary took it as a sign from God that this doctor was completely wrong, that it was not chemicals. Every day when they unbandaged the wounds, there was no change, really. And eventually they got worse by the eighth day. So this was like a proof that these wounds were not manipulated. And the truth is that they were supernaturally caused.
We're talking with Frank Rega, the author of The Truth About Padre Pio's Stigmata and Other Wonders of the Saints. And Frank, you mentioned when we began our conversation this morning that Padre Pio was a famous confessor, that people would come from all over to confess their sins. I had heard a story one time about Pope John Paul II, before he was Pope, going to Padre Pio for confession. Is this true, or is this just a legend?
No, that's true. There's a couple of stories in my book, my new book, regarding Padre Pio and Pope John Paul II. In the 1940s, Pope John Paul, who's known as Carol Wojtyla, Father Wojtyla, he was doing his PhD in Rome, and he heard about this mystic in southern Italy, and he visited, we think in 1947 or 1948, he visited Padre Pio and probably stayed a week or more with Padre Pio. And there's a couple of interesting stories about that. One is that did Padre Pio predict he would be Pope? Some people say he predicted he would be Pope. Now, Pope John Paul II did deny that twice. But we have evidence that Padre Pio, maybe he did not say it in so many words, but he did know that he would be possibly be the Pope. And that's because during the Vatican Council in the 1960s, now he was Bishop Wojtyla, was in Rome for the council, and a very good friend of his, a woman, a doctor from Poland, was diagnosed with cancer, mm-hmm. with a 95% chance of failure. And he wrote to Padre Pio asking for prayers for the cure of this woman. And it turns out there was no cancer found at the time, even though it was 95% chance. So he wrote a second letter to Padre Pio thanking him for this cure. There was a man from the Vatican that hand-delivered these letters both times to Padre Pio. The second letter, when he came, he read it to Padre Pio, and Padre Pio said to the man, "I want you to keep these two letters that this man, Bishop Wojtyla, sent me, because someday they will become very important." Hmm. Now, how did Padre Pio know that in 1962 or 63? Well, I think that is an indication that he had an inclination or a revelation that this Bishop Wojtyla would be Pope.
Hmm. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in a fly on the wall in a room with Padre Pio and Carol Wojtyla?
Yeah, that would have been quite interesting, yeah. Yes. And well, there's another story regarding the Pope and his visit to Padre Pio in the 40s, and that is that he asked Padre Pio which wound caused him the most pain. He expected Padre Pio to say that it was his chest wound. Padre Pio said, "It's my shoulder wound, which nobody knows about." And he, as far as we know, the only person that was ever told about this was the future Pope, John Paul II. And the story came out later on because after Padre Pio died, they went through his room and see what there was to inventory everything, and they found an undershirt covered with blood on the right shoulder. And the brother Modestino, who found this undershirt, recalled that Padre Pio had said something about the tremendous pain he has when he takes off his undershirt. And he thought the same as the future Pope, that it was the chest wound. So this man, this brother, Fra Modestino, that evening he goes to his cell, his own cell, and prays to Padre Pio, "Give me a sign if you really had this shoulder wound." And at 1 o'clock in the morning, this brother wakes up with a tremendous pain on his shoulders, and he smells the perfume that Padre Pio gave off, the perfume of sanctity. He smelled the perfume from Padre Pio, and he heard Padre Pio, who is dead now, Padre Pio told him, "This is what I had to suffer." And he did, this was his sign that he really did suffer this shoulder wound. Hmm. And he would tell people that on my shoulders is the whole church and the whole world. And I think that he offered the sufferings of the shoulder wound for his spiritual children, for the sanctification of his spiritual children.
Frank, we could go on talking for hours, but we're out of time. How can our listeners get a copy of this great new book?
Well, The Truth About Padre Pio's Stigmata, you can get an order at your bookstore. or from the internet, or from my personal website, frankrega.com. That's R-E-G-A, frankrega.com.
Frank,
so it's pretty available.
Thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Forum, and best of luck with this wonderful new book.
Well, thank you, Bob, and it's great being here again.